My friend David Hochberg's on the phone right now. Okay, let's talk about mortgages. You ready?
Go ahead, shoot.
The 30-year fixed.
Oh, bad word. Yeah.
The 30-year fixed is what now?
Yeah, I got to go back to October, John, when we peaked out at the 30-year fixed at around 8% in October of last year, October, November last year, and then the Fed Chair, Powell, mentioned how he was going to do at least 3 rate cuts, and you had some expert on who predicted 6.
Yeah.
And you asked me what my thoughts were of those comments, and I said, let's get to the first one before we start counting anymore. That was my, I think, direct quote. We're now, unfortunately, after the Fed Chair Powell made those comments at the end of last year, the 10-year bond, which is trading at it was trading close to 5, in October when rates peaked, it dropped to 3.6, John, after Fed Chair Powell in December spoke. So the rates dropped basically a point and a half. So we went from 8 to 6.5 in about 45 days, which was great. And everybody in the mortgage industry is like, finally, right? You know, here's the release valve of rates. And everybody was getting ready for a refinance boom. Unfortunately, positive economic news is not good for interest rates. And with the job numbers and everything else, the 10-year bond, John, is back up into the 4.6s today, which is relating to rates in the 30-year fix back and solidly in the 7s. So, yeah.
And that's for people with the best credit,
Wednesday.
Too. That's people with the best credit scores. So
yeah,
I wonder what are some people paying? I mean, maybe they aren't because they just aren't going to do 8, but are some people paying 8% for their loans right now?
Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example. 760 credit score. A WGN listener and his wife are relocating from Illinois to North Carolina. They have their home in Chicago, in the Illinois area on the market right now. They bought a home in North Carolina. We locked them in yesterday at 7 5/8. 7.625. So if they would have came to us when they came to us in December, right, for a pre-qual because they were thinking of moving, we quoted them a rate in the 6s. And I'm just like, listen, you know, the price of gas in December was $3.50. Today it's $4.75.
What happens pre-qualify at a certain rate? Does that lock the rate in then if the rate's going?
No. Unfortunately, it puts a major stressor. Here, we've got a young lady who purchased a $580,000 home in Niles, okay? She signed the contract, we locked her into a rate, 699, about 4 weeks ago. Unfortunately, there were some structural challenges in the home, and the transaction was canceled. It fell through. She just bought another home, okay, over the weekend, signed the contract last night, quoted her rate, you know, same type of structure, 20% down, 800 credit scores. You know, she's at 7.625 as well. So, it went from 699, so rates are up 5/8 of a point in just the past 3-4 weeks.
So what do people say? What are people saying about that when they are contemplating going from 6 3/4 to 7 3/4? Do they, or 5/8? Do they just say la vie? Their attitude is.
It's not so much. Yeah, their attitude is it sucks. Okay, and we explain it to them, and this young lady had to get a cosigner. Her father had to cosign. She's engaged. Right. So her husband's going to be living with her. But, you know, her family didn't want to put, and rightly so, didn't want to put the fiance on the mortgage until they're married. And I completely agree with that situation. So
really?
Because, boyfriends, girlfriends break up, girlfriends, girlfriends, boyfriends break up, and it's not that great of a situation. But when you throw in a piece of property, it becomes even messier.
Yeah.
So whenever those type of situations, we're in love with each other. Yeah, okay, great. We're getting married in 3 months. Okay, great. I can't tell you how many marriages get called off, that people are in love with each other within 90 days. Okay, so in this case, they didn't feel comfortable, even though, they love the guy that she's marrying, until she has a ring on her finger and they walk down the aisle.
What do they do then when they get married? Then do they do rewrite the notes so that you take the dad off and put the husband on?
No, it's a great question. So when they get married, he could get added to the title of the home, added to the deed, which makes him an owner of the property. And when we refinance, as you know, when rates go down, I've done with your loan, you know, in the past, we call you before you call us. And when, after they get married and she's Mrs., you know, McGillicuddy instead of Mrs. Smith, we just do a refinance, take that off of the mortgage at that time. And the wife goes on with the husband's $90,000 income that we need to carry the load in both their names only once they're married, when rates come down in the future. That's how we do.
Is she going to go by Smith McGillicuddy, or what is?
Yeah, Smith - McGillicuddy. SM. And the crazy thing is, his last name is McGillicuddy. And his mother's maiden name was Smith. So it, you know, they've got great towels to hand down. So it's a wonderful situation.
Not sure what we're talking about here. Well, let's do this. Maybe you've got a question for David Hochberg. He is the vice president of lending for Team Hochberg. He's the host of Home Sweet Home Chicago Saturdays from 10 to 1 here on WGN Radio. We're talking about mortgage rates and stuff like that. The housing stock is still tight. The rates aren't coming down. And so this is a bad time to be buying a house. In fact, I saw this article on Block Club, David, a historically bad time to buy house hunting millennials face high prices and steep competition. There's just not as much inventory out there, is there?
No, it's crazy. Nationally, the inventory is growing because whenever I sent you a snippet that the inventory is at 3.1 months up from 2.5 months or whatever. So nationally, the inventory is growing. The challenge is it's not growing here. And these interest rates are impacting some home buyers, but they're not impacting all home buyers. So the challenge is, I know there was a report released that it's cheaper to rent than it is to own. I don't know where that, you know, what towns they're looking at, because when we're speaking with listeners looking to rent versus own, unless you got a roommate, it pretty much breaks even, right? You know, the biggest hurdle is coming up with the down payment and closing costs is the biggest hurdle. So On a monthly basis to live in the same type of property, it's cheaper to own with the tax write-off and the interest write-off and the real estate tax write-off and all
that. Are people coming with more cash to buy down the interest rate? Like if it's at 7.625, can you buy it down to 6.5 with enough money, David?
No, yeah, you're going to need a ton of money, John. I'll give you a perfect example. We ran the numbers for the guy in North Carolina yesterday, right? So he could have gotten it down 2 points, would have lowered his rate, I don't know, like 0.625. 1 point would have got it down 0.25 point. So I ran the numbers. And I'm just like, okay, on your loan, it would cost you $4,400 in discount points to buy the rate down to the low sevens, and you'd save $104 a month. Okay, it was $104 a month. So I'm like, if you do the math, sometime in the next 40-some months, if you think rates are going to drop, then paying for a discount point is the worst investment on the planet. It just makes no sense. Because why invest money in a lower rate? It was like, again, it sounds horrible, John. Oh, you're going to be in the high sevens or the low sevens. Yeah, it looks horrible. It was $104 a month, the differential in the payments. So I'm just like, listen, you want to dump $4,400 because he had $200-some thousand loan, right? A $202,000 loan, whatever the number was. I go, a $220,000 loan. That's why it was $4,400, because one discount point is one percentage point of your loan amount. I said, I go, listen, it's your money, bud, but I'd rather you spend $4,400 on something else or pull the $104 extra payment every single month for the next 40 months out of the $4,400 you're not blowing on paying down the point. So, and he agreed, and he went with the higher rate. So,
do you like the idea of rounding up your payment or paying as much as you can on the principal then? Say my mortgage is $1,200. What if I put $1,500 down a month on my mortgage? Do you like that idea?
Listen, it's great. It pays down your mortgage faster. The challenge is, can't tell you how many listeners I speak with who do that, who have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of credit card debt. Oh. I'm just like, what are you doing?
I go,
why?
Yeah.
Why? I'm just like, take a step back, right? You see the forest there? I know you're in the middle of the trees. I go, what are you paying down a 3-4% mortgage when you got 20-30% debt over here you're carrying every month. Stop doing that until you extinguish all of your debt, including your car loan. I don't care if you got a 2 or 3% car loan. Your car loan payments, $400 to $700, $900, just $1,500 a month. We pulled credit on a guy yesterday. Not judging. I'm just telling you. So if you've got $30,000 car loan left with a $1,500 payment, and you're paying an extra $200-$300 into your mortgage instead of applying it to pay your car loan off faster, you know, I think you need to talk to me and have a conversation. I don't know what people are doing.
I don't know what they're doing either. I'm just sitting here talking on the radio. Let's talk to Kelly. You're on WGN. Kelly, what can we do for you? You're on with David Hochberg.
Hi, John and David. Thank you for taking my call. I put a property, just a vacant land, 10 acres for sale in Michigan, about 3 weeks ago. And I got a real estate agent through Redfin, and I didn't negotiate the 6% as the seller. And my question is, if the buyer doesn't have an agent, what happens to that 3%? Do I get that back? And also, by selling just vacant land, would that actually be a case for perhaps a sale by owner since there's no property, I mean, no building or anything to look at? Can you help me with that?
Sure. Okay, so I'll take the for sale by owner. Number one, you could sell anything by owner, okay? You don't need to hire a realtor to sell any piece of property, okay? You hire a realtor to sell a piece of property because of their product knowledge and their market expertise within the area you're trying to sell the piece of property. In this case, it's a piece of land, okay? The challenge that NAR got into trouble with was because of exactly the case that you speak of, right? That the selling realtor was keeping both sides of the transaction, okay? Right or wrong, I'm not making a judgment call there, but the selling realtor will say, I brought that buyer to the mix as well. The time for you to have that conversation with the broker that you hired or the realtor that you hired, the real estate professional, was at the time that you signed the contract. Okay, because everything in a real estate transaction is negotiable. So if you don't feel comfortable with the realtor having to pay them both sides of the commission,
because you're not getting that money, they're not going to slide that over
they're
because you didn't have
that
agent.
Money.
That's not happening. No way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
And you know what?
What?
And you know what, John?
No.
And the caller, who I forgot her name.
Yeah.
If that selling realtor worked their database and their sphere of influence and their context to get the other side of it, then they should get both sides of it because they worked both sides of that transaction.
Well,
right? If somebody just rolls up and sees a sign and says, hey, I just passed your sign, I'd like to buy these 10 acres, then you've got an argument, right? Because they really didn't put much time into securing that other buyer.
And there's no property on the land. It's simply just a piece of land. Listen, if people want to reach you, David Hochberg, how do they find you?
Yeah, 855-56-DAVID. Go to 56david.com. Pack Show, Joel Spencer. We got Kane County Teachers Credit Union, Joe Maliscano. I can never pronounce. Joe M., and I forgot the other expert on this weekend show. But we got a packed show this weekend, Saturday at 10. Thanks for having me on, John.
That's David Hochberg. He is the Vice President of Lending at Team Hochberg.